Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 34. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but not understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for all other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sarah, thank you for reading God's word to us so well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is with humility and eagerness that we come to your word this morning. By your Holy Spirit, please make us good soil. Those who hear your word, accept it, and put it into practice in our lives. Amen. Well, in Mark chapter 4, this great chapter in front of us, Jesus is teaching us about how his kingdom grows. Last week, we studied the parable of the sower, and today we're going to focus most of our attention on verses 21 to 34. But let me start by asking you if you're optimistic or pessimistic about the cause of Christ? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the growth of his kingdom? As a former engineering student, I love the story of the optimist, the pessimist, and the engineer who were looking at a half glass of water. And the pessimist said, "Oh, it's half empty." The optimist said, "It's half full." And the engineer said, "That glass is really twice as big as it needs to be." What about when it comes to the growth of people who have Jesus as their king? Are you optimistic or pessimistic? It's actually very easy to be pessimistic. For years now, surveys have been telling us that the number of professing Christians, in our country at least, is in decline. And this decline makes it possible for us to think, what is the point in being wholehearted in our faith? What is the point in speaking about Jesus and making him known when so many reject him? Or for those looking into the faith, we might wonder, what's the point in really investigating the claims of Jesus when so many just ignore them? Well, Jesus gave this teaching in Mark chapter 4 so that despite the challenges in his days and ours, we would be optimistic about the growth of his kingdom. Realistic, yes, but also optimistic, because as we will see, his kingdom is always growing. Now, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34 has a sandwich structure. So it starts and it ends with parables about seeds. Do you notice that in the reading? Jesus is teaching a huge crowd by the Sea of Galilee, and he is telling them parables about seeds. Perhaps in the past, you've been taught that Jesus used parables to make things as simple as possible for ordinary folk to understand. But we saw last week that Jesus' reason for teaching in parables is actually different to that. Jesus says he teaches in parables to test his hearers. So some of his hearers are hard-hearted, and some of his hearers are ready to listen. And when the hard-hearted hearers hear Jesus' parable, they just dismiss it as a silly story of no great significance. But when those who are humble and teachable hear the parables, well, they come to Jesus to discover the meaning. And that's what we see going on in the middle of this section, in the meat of the sandwich. In verses 10 through to 25, the disciples, the 12 and others, were coming to Jesus and asking about the parables, and Jesus explained and applied the parables to them. So you've got the bread, which is the parables themselves, and then the meat, Jesus explaining and applying them to those who wanted to know more. And in our sermon today, we're going to look first at the three seed parables, including a brief recap of the parable of the sower, which we looked at last week. And then we'll end our sermon with that meat, seeing how Jesus applied the parables to his disciples and to us. And remember, in all of this, Jesus' purpose is to make us optimistic about the growth of his kingdom, his people. So we start with three seed parables. And first, a recap of the sower. And the big message of the parable of the sower is that despite disappointment, the word produces a bumper harvest. So the parable starts with a farmer scattering seed. And in verse 14, Jesus explains, "The farmer sows the word." Now, this is perhaps the biggest point of the whole chapter. God's kingdom grows as his word is scattered. So the word of God is the growth agent, the seed that causes his kingdom to grow. For people to become Christians, it's vital that we sow the word. But the parable tells us as we do that, there will be disappointment. So some hear the word and it's immediately snatched away by the evil one. Others hear the word and they respond with joy, but then when trouble and persecution comes, they fall away. Still others hear the word, but over time the life is squeezed out of it by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things. And actually, when we see people responding to the word like that, especially people who we have shared the word with, it's so disappointing. But the parable says, don't lose heart, because others hear the word and accept it. They are the good soil. And in their lives, the word produces a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, in those days, and still today, that is a bumper harvest, a massive crop. While the crop is the change that God's word makes in the lives of those who accept it. The fruit of becoming like Jesus and the ongoing effect of our witness. The crop is so enormous in those who accept the word that it makes all the disappointment worth it. That's the message of the parable of the sower. Despite disappointment, the word produces a bumper harvest. Well, the next seed parable that Jesus told is the parable of the growing seed. And we see this in verses 26 to 29. Have a look at verse 26. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. So the farmer in this parable sows his seed, and all by itself it sprouts and grows. It doesn't matter whether the farmer lies in bed, whether he gets up, whether he's playing on the Xbox, the seed is busy growing. The farmer doesn't have to make it grow. He's not out there with tweezers trying to stretch the grain out of the seeds. No, the seed has power in itself to grow. But the farmer does have to wait. He has to trust. He can't see what's happening. And then gradually up comes the stalk, the ear, and the grain. Well, just as in the sower, the seed is the word of God. And the message of this parable is that despite delay, the word grows powerfully and gradually. You see, God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active. The word is empowered by the Holy Spirit. When the word of God is accepted into someone's life, like a growing seed, it gets to work. In the Reformation, Martin Luther helped millions of people to grasp the gospel of grace. The truth that we're not saved by our own works, but we are saved as a gift when we trust in Jesus who died for us. And Martin Luther's teaching changed the world. But listen to what he wrote. He wrote this: I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word did everything. Well, other drinks are available, but it's a great quote, isn't it? Luther had grasped the point of this parable. He said, I did nothing. The word did everything. The power is in God's word. And the word grows powerfully when it is accepted in someone's life. But also gradually. Just as with the seed in the parable, when the word is accepted in a person's heart, there's often a delay. And like that farmer, we don't know what's happening or why. And then gradually the word produces its fruit. So a friend of mine worked for 10 years in central London. And for all that time, he was praying for and sharing the gospel with a small group of men. And after those 10 years, he left discouraged, thinking that nothing had happened. But then recently he went back to his old church and was amazed to see two of those men there as recently baptized believers, growing in Christ. Despite delay, the word had been growing powerfully and gradually in their lives. Well, what an encouragement this is to listen carefully to God's words. It's living and active. If we receive it in our hearts, it will be at work in us. And what an encouragement this is to share God's word with others. It may seem that nothing is happening, but when it falls on good soil, it is gradually at work under the surface. Well, the third seed parable that Jesus told is the parable of the mustard seed. And we see this in verses 30 to 32. Again, he said, "What shall I say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. And when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." Now, if this was an all-age service this morning, I would have brought one of these mustard seeds with me. And it's so small, I would have held it on my finger and you wouldn't have been able to see it. In fact, I could have pretended that I had one this morning. That's how small they are. It's so tiny, you plant it in the ground and you think nothing is going to come from that. But then it grows into an enormous plant, several meters tall, in exceptional circumstances, 10 meters tall, right up to the roof here, with branches so big that birds can nest in them. You can hardly believe that that enormous plant has come from that tiny, tiny seed. And again, the seed stands for the word of God. And in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 31 and Daniel 4, this image of the tree with birds perching in its branches is used for the kingdoms of Assyria and Babylon, enormous international kingdoms. And so the point of the parable is that despite appearing so small and weak, God's word will produce an enormous international kingdom. And it is so exciting to look at history and to look at what's happening in the world today and to see Jesus' words coming true. When he left the earth, his messengers were 11 terrified men. What could seem smaller and weaker than that? And yet the word has grown and grown and grown. Revelation chapter 7 gives us a glimpse of God's people gathered in heaven at the end of time. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and crying out, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" That tiny seed will have grown into a vast international kingdom of people saved by Jesus, the Lamb who died for them. And so we must never be afraid of the apparent weakness of God's word. Again and again, it produces huge results. Take, for example, the church in Uganda. Just 140 years ago, there were very few Christians in that country. And then 50 of those few were martyred by the king. It seemed like the work had come to nothing. But since then, the word of God has grown and grown, and now there are millions of believers in that great country. You could multiply that example again and again. And what's true globally is true for individuals as well. When we accept God's word into our lives, it seems so weak, but it produces an enormous result, God's kingdom growing within us. What an encouragement these parables are. Despite disappointment, the word produces a bumper harvest. Despite delay, the word grows powerfully and gradually. And despite appearing weak, the word produces an enormous kingdom. Well, how should we respond to these parables of Jesus? As I mentioned, in the middle of the chapter, Jesus explains and applies the parables to his disciples. And this section of explanation and application begins at verse 10 and continues to verse 25. And we're going to focus on verse 21 to 25 today. So look at verse 21. "He said to them," that is the 12 and others, Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, there's debate here about whether the lamp is Jesus or the disciples. I think it's both. First, Jesus shined out God's word, and now we must too. And Jesus says you would never hide a lamp under a bowl. You'd never put the lamp in your house under the bed, concealing its light. No, you would put your lamp on the lampstand so that it can shine out. And in the same way, the disciples' job and our job is to shine out God's word far and wide. So if we're Christians, Jesus has made known to us the secrets of the kingdom, things that are hidden from other people. We know who Jesus is, the Son of God. We know that he brings forgiveness and peace with God. We know that he gives us a living relationship with God as Father. We know he gives that certain hope of life in God's perfect kingdom. And if we know these things, if Jesus has taught us these things, well, we have a duty to pass them on. We have a duty to shine the light of God's word far and wide. Now, we do that when we speak of our faith in Jesus, when we share the difference that he makes to us. And we shine out the word of God also when we bring people to church or to Christianity Explored. We can shine out the word of God when we give people Christian books to read. And actually, Advent and Christmas coming up are such a good time for giving suitable books, for bringing people to events at church. We shine out God's word when we answer people's questions, when we offer to sit and look at the Bible with people. And we shine out God's word in our families and in our homes when we talk about what we're reading in the Bible, when we read the word as a family. And again, Advent is a great time to do that. We'll be talking more about the Adventure of Christmas book for reading the word as a family. Now, the world tells us that it is odd to share our faith. But Jesus is telling us here that it is the most natural thing in the world. The odd thing is to hide a light under a bucket. The natural thing is to let it shine. And so, believers, Jesus challenges us with these words. Is your lamp under a bowl? Is it under a bed? Or are you doing what you can as the person God has made you, in the place God has put you, to shine out his word far and wide? See, the parables tell us that God's kingdom grows as we sow the seed of God's word. And the parables encourage us that despite everything, God's kingdom is always growing. So let's do what we can to shine out the word and to scatter that seed. Well, Jesus' second application of these parables is about how we listen to God's word ourselves. And he urges us to listen to the word in large measure. Have a look at verse 24 and 25. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So Jesus urges his disciples, consider carefully what you hear. Don't let the word just wash over you. Think about it. Hold on to it. Chew on it in your hearts. And he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, a measure here is a measuring container. So if you go to the grain market and you take a small container with you, perhaps an egg cup, well, you'll come home with a tiny amount of grain. But if you go to the grain market and you take a medium-sized measure with you, maybe a mug, well, you'll come home with a middling amount of grain. But if you go to the grain market with a large measure, Jesus says you will come home with a large measure of grain, in fact, even more overflowing from the large measure that you have taken. And it's like that in the way we listen to God's word. If we listen in small measure, the benefit we receive from God is small. But if we listen in large measure, the benefit is great. In other words, if we desire a stronger faith, a closer knowledge of God's love, a deeper joy, if we want to be useful in the service of Jesus, well, we must listen to his word in large measure. And that means being eager to hear God's word, being hungry to gather weekly as a church to hear God's word preached. It means being careful to think about God's word, to hold on to it, to chew it in our minds and hearts. Listening in large measure means we're eager to hear God's word in our homes as well, reading the Bible in the week, talking about it with other believers. And listening in large measure means that we accept what we hear from God's word. That's actually the mark in verse 20 of being good soil. And when God's word challenges how the world thinks and how we think, well, listening in large measure means accepting it because it's the word of God and God is God. And then listening in large measure means putting into practice what we hear, actively trusting the promises and obeying the commands, and particularly letting God's word shine into the darkest corners of our lives and seeking to trust and obey it there. And so verse 25 challenges us. Whoever has will be given more. If we listen in large measure, God will give us more and more of his truth. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. In other words, if we stop listening to God's word, even what we know of God will be taken from us. What a warning. If we harden our hearts to the word of God, we are in danger of losing our knowledge of him. Brothers and sisters, what measure are you listening to God's word in? The egg cup, the mug, or the bucket? Let's be those who listen in large measure, because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, we started by asking, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the growth of God's kingdom? And Jesus has taught us that the kingdom grows as the word of God is scattered. And in these parables, he doesn't hide the difficulties, but he gives us every reason to be positive. Despite all those disappointing results, the word will produce a bumper harvest. Despite delay, the word grows powerfully and gradually. Despite appearing so weak, the word produces an enormous kingdom. So let's be those who listen to the word in large measure, so that the word of God is at work and growing in our lives. And then let's be those who shine out the word far and wide, so that his kingdom will be growing around us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word is so powerful, like that growing seed, that mustard seed, and that despite all the disappointment we see, your word is growing here and around the world as men and women and boys and girls receive your gospel and trust in you. Lord, help us to be those who listen to your word in large measure, who are strengthened and built up in our relationship with you. And show us, Lord, how it's the unique people you've made each one of us to be, and in the unique positions you have put us, we can sow the seed of your word and let that light shine out from us. Amen.